the reason she's late is in 2 hours, so if the rush is going to take the stuff, so we'll wait until she comes.
I don't know.
By the way, before we start, I want to make a point, right? I made a point to see that. You see my bag. There's some metal in the bag. All things, all bags. I want to show you. I have a file within the file. This is XYDVD. There we are. Anybody wants to emulate it, please acknowledge the emergency file, okay?
Can I just say to you, is those who were not with us on our trip to China and Vietnam will appreciate or must appreciate that these two packets is an upgrade to the bag you were carrying in China. Every time we took a photo, they would take the bag.
Gone to take part in the World Parliamentary Cup.
Rugby World Cup. And it gives me great pleasure to inform this meeting that on Friday, when our parliamentary rugby team, played against the world parliamentary team that beat them 10-3. Chairperson, it gives me even greater pleasure to inform you that on Monday, South Africa Parliament played France Parliament, and we beat them 22-12, which included the scoring of 4 tries. I thought that I must share this, and that the people here will spread this with you. So not quite sure how the Springboks are going to perform, so we must celebrate when we can.
I just want to say that it is a matter of deep disgrace to the community that Peter and Liz tried to make the team and failed dismally. And then he asked me to interview him. And he pointed out his movies in 1994 and all that. And, you know, I must confess that when I went to see the captain of our team, he said, "Have you seen Peter Sides the last year?" And I realized now that they were vindicated in leaving Peter out. So I was congratulating Peter for not taking the place.
That wasn't an unplaying position there.
I presume that
can I say
making that we're winning the games.
Benjamin Admani is also a member of the rugby team, but for other extraneous factors.
No, if you are still looking for a definition of land,
you will need it.
So, whether we should start on that note, we wish the rugby team well. I don't know how to play rugby. Or the F like the F one, the F shape one. Okay, no idea.
But yesterday when we were dealing with your score, there was a request that the chairperson, DPP, and the team take your advice up. They're supposed to meet and come out with a new proposal in terms of 4.1. I'll hand it over to the chair to just give us a summary of the outcome of the discussion.
Quickly, we also have issues come because we have complex issues about putting in developmental or utility rates of return. The meeting was very easy because, in fact, we had nothing to do. The department had already started a very nice event, actually, very nice center, the team that did it, and they will take us through it. And what it was, Peter and I thought it's fine, I think, and then they will take it to our advice, and it's fine. The second point is about the developmental facility rate of return. We thought what we should do is process the matter so that we arrive at some consensus, and if we don't, then we will finish the committee. We can deal with that early next week. The aim would be to vote on this bill next Friday, but if we can't, it's very soon. There's nothing further to report. Maybe we can ask Andrew to take us to 4-1 and then we just follow up.
Chair, I'll need the distributed copies of the proposal. First of all, we amended the reference object to object, and we have conformed with the wording in the preamble that refers to the availability and affordability of access. You recall that initially it was access to and affordability. The electronic communications, you will recall that before we had reference to electronic communications network and services, and it was actually repeated in A and B. Insofar as electronic communications is an umbrella term that includes network and services, we adopted the umbrella term there, so we also cut back on the wording. We have pulled up the reference including but not limited to underdeveloped and underserviced areas. So again, in terms of distinctive features or of objects of InfraCode, the object is to expand availability and affordability of access. In underdeveloped and underserviced areas as well as other areas. In other words, it's not limited to those areas. In accordance with the Electronic Communications Act and international best practice. So we've rationalized on the wording without losing any of the content in the process. That is the main objective. That is what we want to achieve. How are we going to achieve it? We're going to achieve it through the provision of A, network services, electronic communications network services, and electronic communication services. These are terms defined in the ECA, and they're also defined in our Act with reference to the ECA. So, the emphasis being on expanding availability and affordability of access, particularly to underdeveloped and underserved areas, but not limited to that, complying with the ETA and with international best practice. That's the contextual objective. How are we going to achieve it? Through network services and communication services.
Any addition from the colleagues which were there, let's say no advice of GCAS or the company?
The first person has reported to you, I think the wording depends the gist of what they wanted and what we agreed with, but I think it makes it just a whole lot easier to read.
Let's look at both Kadi and Sumifam submission. Anything to pick it up?
Here is
4-1 in both Kadi. We dealt with that already. And then in Sumifam,
you have immediate access to your website. Is anything there? 4-1.
Yes. Oh, yeah, it's in your book. Oh, it's the same issue, yeah. Mm. Yeah. This is not the one we rejected as well, actually, already for.
Give comfort, for instance, with regards to the Usansa comments, we were, as you will recall, we were advised by ICASA that the principle of non-discrimination is already captured in the ECA. The aspects of class-based pricing is already part of the ICASA's regulatory framework, so it's not a matter of rejection as a consequence of not being valid, but as a consequence of already being addressed in other legislation.
Can I say something else, Andrew? This is what I was going to say yesterday, and this is just for my edification. Why would it be a problem to say the main objects of InfraCom are to expand access to and affordability of electronic communication? The earlier version, why would it not be easier? Instead of what we're saying, we're saying something else, which is, it's about access being affordable and available, rather than access to and affordability of electronic communication.
We've been advised that, technically speaking, you may theoretically have access, but that access may not be available. So it's also a quality of service dimension, as well, and the afford, there may be access that may not be affordable to you. So we focused on those areas in conformance with the preamble.
Simply, you say access to and affordability of. It implies both access and affordability, doesn't it?
We say availability and affordability of access.
All right, fine. I will protect you. Thanks very much. Any member?
If there is no comment, it means we kick it off. We agree to. We are not coming back. We are going to 4.2.
Last time on 4.42 we requested parliamentary legal services to go in cross-check, just to check the cross-reference. Can we get any indications?
We did make a check and we verified that certain details of the companies as provided that any companies shall have the capacity determined by the main of checks. Stated in the memorandum. So in the second clause 4.1, the deal of the process by incorporation, the right of the case in the objects and security is main objects. So it is relevant to the process of the deal.
Thank you. Remember, check, do you have anything around what that is?
No.
Can we see the box and move to section 4.3? Section 4.1, section 4.3. It was also the issue of check references.
Yes, we also checked schedule 2 of the Companies Act, and it states it gives common powers of companies, and that these powers enable the company to realize its main objectives. And this schedule now is transported into the bill to ensure that the company Franco realizes its main objectives. So it's also fine.
Any comment?
Mm-hmm.
So
agree.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 4.4. Let's see 4.4.
Chair, a reminder that this was the Hendricks point, yeah. The flag that the Hendricks point. Peter suggested wording such as being cognizant of the object of InfoCode. We've used the wording subject to 4.1, in other words, subject to the mandate of or the object of InfoCode. The Minister, in consultation with the Minister of Finance and Communication, may enter into transactions to alienate assets or shares in InfoCode. So the whole provision is now, or the execution of the whole provision is now subject to a to the object of InfoCode.
I take this under consideration, but it sounds
Chairperson, just as you to the Boscato document and the ESCOM document, the drones for sale, what is the
I just want to add on that note. Because ESCOM seems to be saying like before with effect from the transfer date and subject to the PFMA, I think it's the order of the wedding that is the PFMA. So I wanted to hear the opinion maybe from the legal side if that has an impact in terms of the interpretation of the provision itself, because they seem to be saying with effect from the transfer date and then subject to the PFMA instead of what has been written on the draft of the PDF, where the PFMA is referred to after consultation. So I just wanted to hear what would be the opinion of the local advisors on that one.
I don't think anything different is an apology. I think the expert it seems to me that there are not exactly certain what this one is concerned about. But there is a two-stage difference. It must be done in consultation, but you at the same time you must follow the requirements of the PFMA. In other words, both in the contract. the old things.
You are talking about section 43? Or all the sections?
We had this before with other legislation, with local government legislation, you might recall, there was a lot of cross-referencing to other acts, and some of them were being repealed at the time. We were then advised by the lawyer for all sides that you cannot amend, or you cannot trust your story in anticipation of what going to happen in the bill that came to come. So it's a good point you're raising. We shouldn't qualify the thing out of the advice and the privilege. You don't have to speak. We want to hear from you. That's why you are here. So, you know, don't qualify. Just say what you want to say. But what I wanted to deal with is the other aspect of the ESCOM. ESCOM is a replace of a transfer by itself. Strictly speaking, they lie. Except, it's not politically correct to say itself. Because, you know, it's sort of like spelling out, it's quite, look at the statement advisor smiling skeptically. So let's give it a transfer. Because maybe a future chairperson and a future minister will fight about what the word transfer means, but it can still be brutal. Let's say no. May I suggest we may not sell to a
but the only other question I wanted to ask was the one about elegance. It's not a big deal, I mean.
And you can tell me to jump in the lane. On these issues, really, it's my innocence, right? But I do have the right to speak like Mashiach. I just wanted to ask whether it may have a meaning that's different, and or whether it might not be neat, as you say. When you get from the transfer date, blah, 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 and subject to 4.1 and the PFFA. That's the first question I want to ask you. The second one is there's two subjects in the paragraph, right? And, you know, like, subject to section 4.1, if you said consistent with section 4.1, would that be, like, legally unpalatable or problematic? So, point is, don't you want to move the subject to down into line 2? That's my first question. You getting that second?
Yes.
The second question is, if you want to keep the subject there, you don't want to be consistent with section 4.1, or consistent with the object set out in section 4.1, or whatever.
I think moving these one subject right at the start is that the minister may not even commence a process.
Yeah, you're right. If it had not been
our preference is the subject because it's recognized legally. Consistent is potentially soft in that.
Can I make a suggestion, Bill? You could say subject to 4.1 and 3.1. Would that take care of your subject?
What about that,
Deborah?
That
thing
is called a subject, because it doesn't like subject.
No,
so
you
that's the problem.
Yeah. Well, that would be the eliminate one of the subjects.
Chair, why we want to separate, why we don't want to mention subject 4.1 and the PFMA necessarily in the same breath is the PFMA prescribes process that evolves once you can commence with the transaction. Whereas 4.1 says we don't want you to even consider a transaction if you cannot meet the objects of InfraCode. So the content of these are distinctly different, and I think semantically it does make a difference.
Okay. The chief special advisor responded to a question I don't think there is it, in terms of capturing both the FMA and so on. So can we move in the funding?
The chief is now, you said politically, transfer doesn't sound correct.
So how politically you transfer?
Well, you know, there are many things in the legislation that are brutal. But, because transfer just mean it might just mean handed over as well. I wouldn't say good. So we need to get that because you know one of the purposes of this whole thing is competition, fairness competition. Yeah. And if you transfer, you know, it's not necessarily that you will transfer to all competitors. It might happen that you might just reference to a certain person and then you let get competition. If it's to sell, it's open. It means it's open for any buyer. So you must be very careful here. The other one that you that I eliminate, you know, to the freedom, eliminate to you can do that, but maybe might transfer or sell, whatever the case may be at that stage. But just to say it's transfer, you know, we might put ourselves in a total position.
So you propose that we don't put some stuff. Another name
of sell.
I'm not being sarcastic. A sale is a form of a transaction, and so what we're saying is we're not necessarily excluding different types of transactions. There may be shared swaps, there may be various ways in which the transaction is different. So we're taking a broader term than just sale. We're not only limiting it to a sale, and the transfer is a consequence of the transaction.
Thank you very much. We just kick it off. We move to section 5.4, which was agreed upon last time. And then the issue we need to pick it up from both Tati and Chulisan. Anything from the parliamentary office?
The only thing is that Lubakati are the borrowing powers that people have finalized. In other words, it's covered in very scheduling. I think it's a reference to an earlier version of the bill.
Yeah.
So, agreed. We move to section 2. We just discussed what I can. Last time when we were just discussing, you said we need to wait for the cabinet discussion.
Around the use of license or info. Check.
We move to get the information from the.
Let's move to section 7.
Can I give you a report on that? You think people are not aware. Cabinet is seeking this morning to look at an amendment to the ECA. And we did say that before we vote on this bill, we would like to look at what that amendment is so that we actually you know, serious that's point one. Point two is that the form in which the ECA is amended could take various forms. There are discussions taking place at the level of the executive state. It could take the form of a separate act, as a separate bill, or other committee, and then they will proceed with it in a separate process, which will include one or two members of our committee. But that may also delay the process.
because they might want to, you know, by the time it's, you know, processed, it has to actually go beyond the deadline date. So there is another option which we have suggested, which is that it be done by your other committee, with Comrade Godfrey and Ishmael Bhaji, and the chair, will do the amendment, but it will be attached as a schedule to the act. And it came out of the public hearings anyway. So that's another form, Harris. But it makes no difference. In law, it's the same act. The form it takes is the matter of parliament to decide. We discussed that with state law advisor this morning, and the two ministers are going to confirm today. So we're not sure what form it will take. But there's a third thing that we should not rule out completely. Is something we have discussed, but let's leave it for now in abeyance. You know, there may be another option as well. The point is that once we agree on the context between SICASA, COC, our department, and cabinet agreement, and the parliamentary commission, and the form that it takes is something we will decide on in terms of the deadline.
Thank you very much, Chef. My last apology, the service was really section 6, because we are removing the current section 6, which was in fact for license. So it's been taken out.
Now we see the
yes, it's been taken out, the service will be the third section 6.
Oh, that was interesting.
You keep it in, and the service will be.
Chair, the only amendment that we effected was in 6.2, and it was as a consequence of a number of comments made with regard to Section 2. You will recall that during the last session we actually had a lot of discussion around it. We explained then that in 6.1 we were dealing with existing rights, and in 6.2 we were addressing additional rights, but then we had a 6.2.1, A1 and a 2. What we've done is we have, and it was also a suggestion of one of the members of the committee, we've combined 6.2A1 and 2 so that it's first of all comprehensive in terms of the types of additional rights that we want to secure, and that it is specific and clear that those rights relate to not existing servitude but additional rights in relation to those servitudes. So it was a matter of drafting, cleaning up that we effected there. We didn't change any of the principles that were in the earlier draft.
Thank you, Chief Legal Advisor. You were part of the cleaning up. I'm comfortable with that, Chairperson. You recall that I raised the need to enter the property in order to do certain work, and I think that captured my concern. Thank you.
Thank you.
For starting, gentlemen. Okay.
Maybe there could be one aspect that has been indicated by school, that there needs to be an inclusion of South African Rail's Commuter Corporation Limited. Maybe we can get a clarification.
Chair, it's actually a technical issue. We were advised by Infrica management that the servitudes that SARCC has at this point in time are mostly the metro, for the metro services, and at this point in time it's not anticipated or determined exactly to what extent SARCC's servitudes would really be required. Keep in mind the principle remains that in the case of acquiring additional rights or a new servitude compensation will be payable, there will be a process of negotiation. We can use, if we don't capture anything in terms of existing servitude in 6, we can capture it in 7 as far as expropriation is concerned. So, in short, the IFRICA board It's not clear at this point in time that it will require SARCC servitude, and as a consequence we don't want to be interventionist, particularly since we still do have rights under Section 7, secure access to those servitudes if we didn't capture it now.
ESKOM is just going to deal with an earlier version of the bill. So there is some point here that whenever you move familiar with the bill, you might be able to direct my attention to which section. There are four things they said that are not in the Bonkasi. I thought maybe we should just dispose of if they're not really valuable. In line 2, they say use or other real rights, and then they put whether registered or not. So that's covered down somewhere. Let's see what something about unregistered rights or something.
Yes, we have unregistered
rights. Then the next thing is, can I go to 6.2? Why is it in the last line? You've got, say, the second to last line towards the end, you've got and of providing electronic communication network services and electronic communication network services. Why do we try?
See, I was going to come to that. That's actually an error, and we're going to recommend we correct that.
So we just do it once on
that.
Now the third thing is
network, what must you remove it from?
Yes, why are you not just supposed to delete network? So that is communication network services and communication services.
The double reference to network needs to be removed.
Because I mean, one another place we talk about network services and services. Is this not supposed to, was that not the intention? To refer to both services as well as network services. And now here that could be the second network.
That is correct. You will see that we've also referred to facilities, and facilities are integral to providing some of these services. So it's only the word network that is to be
Thank you, sir. Then while I'm being so helpful, and I don't want to get any sort of complex about commerce, but I must say in 2A, third line, or second line, to be servitude relates for the purposes and using and maintaining existing, comma, and constructing, erecting, and maintaining further, comma.
And you know, I must say, Senator, when I was on the text on Monday, I really thought she'd be unwieldy, unfortunately, and but Thursday, I would say this was surgeon means like sick and clinical. Is that right, Senator?
Yes.
Okay, I can't pronounce the word, but I know what I'm trying to say. The point is, Senator, isn't the earlier formulation better? And you can avoid being repetitive. You see, let me read this thing. It's difficult to read it. It says, every servitude is hereby extended so as to include the additional right to enter and use the land. To which such servitude relates for the purpose of using and maintaining, existing and constructing, erecting and maintaining twice again, further electronic communications facilities, and networks, and of providing electronic communication network services and electronic communication services. Is there no way we can break that down without being repetitive? You know, you've done such a good job of 4.1, so we know you're entirely capable of doing 3.
I have to understand it.
All right, because of the minority, I'll forego it, but I want to dig my heels in on. I've been very kind and withdrawn immediately when, you know, people have convinced me, but now they must convince me. And not as a chair, but an individual member of the committee. I require convincing that it can't be broken down. Maybe.
Chair, I think we do owe unions at least a response in terms of whether we can improve on that. Which we will look at, but let me just caution, for instance, in the case of this particular clause, a double reference to maintaining would be very real, because so just to a certain extent this may be a difficult clause to read, but I will go and compare that with the original published version, and I will come back to perhaps after tea.
Conchi, you recall that from Eunice, I mentioned 2 days ago that I'd be quite happy to sit down with DB and to refine the document and the language. She didn't unveil the clause. But then from Eunice raised that if the committee is full and the committee must decide, we don't want to give it to lawyers. My office still stands.
Yes, that's what
I'm saying.
Particular context, though. Okay,
but let's go. You're right, it can be. All one has to be absolutely certain of is that you're capturing the intent and the meaning of that clause when you refine it, because you could lose it so easily. And that's why I thought we should do it with DPE if you wanted us to.
Can we mandate you like we did for 4-1? Can I clarify? Maybe I spoke sorry, Chair.
I didn't mean whatever Daniel suggested, even if it came across like that. What I meant to say was, because of time and so, we're a bit worried that if we finish the process and then we hand over to the state law advisor at DP and they start working on that, then we have to come back in the commission or a subcommittee to go through it. Granted, we have cooperation, we like each other on 3-1. So why don't we ask DPE and the Daniel office and the instructor team to just work on this and come in a state later today or whatever. That's the way we do it. So this is only the other one now, you know, that I could see when I listened to the whole bill that requires 3 words.
Explain the fun thing.
Since we moved from 6-1 to 6-2 now, but I still want to say something on 6-1.
No,
it's fine. With your permission. I just want to give clarity. We talk about here about ESCOM and Transnet, and in the first sentence of 6-1 we refer to the lease and right, we refer to right. But in clause 3, we also refer to rights. That's a transfer of rights. And then we only talk about ESCOM because Transnet's interests are already.
Yeah.
So what is the difference between the rights here? Does it not also include the rights of servitudes in clause 3 that we only refer to ESCOM and here we refer to Transnet and ESCOM? I just want to give clarity a piece of mind.
No, thank you very much. But yes, I agree with the proposal. I say that ENVA and CDE, they are going to be in contact with their finance application. CDE on the question, Rich?
I think it's a good idea. I just suggest that we can speak during the tea break or during lunch. We are ready to do so.
On what may have been David's raising?
Chair, I'm just checking the reference, so I'll respond in a minute.
On which one is that? Your hand was up.
No, my hand wasn't up, but I'm glad to say something if you want to.
Don't say something if you
want to. I'm just drafting on a more serious note. I'm out of office from tomorrow until the almost the end of November. And so I will ask my office to assist.
The one which we are talking about is supposed to be done today. And then you can create it in your office tomorrow.
Chair, I just want to check if the Fontaine's concern that in, you mentioned 3, but is he referring to 6?
Let me study from C.
C or because
I'm not sure to it. In three one, we refer to the transfer of rights. The second thing is 3-1. We refer to the rights, and they only refer to ESCOM. Now the rights of servitude, we also refer to the first sentence of 6-1, and then we mention ESCOM and Transnet. So both refer to rights. It might not necessarily be the same rights, but I just want to get clarity. What do you mean?
You did understand last time. Can you repeat it again?
Yes. Again, to explain the transaction structure is that the Transnet transfers to ESCOM, to Infraco, to ESCOM, and ESCOM or to Infraco, Infraco being owned by ESCOM, and ESCOM sells to us. So it's a consequence of that transaction structure. So, ESCOM established InfraCo. ESCOM is the shareholder. Transnet actually transfers to InfraCo. While ESCOM is the shareholder, the InfraCo interests of ESCOM is being transferred to the state.
I also
no, I'm fine. That's the reason why it's not mentioned, yeah.
This point one, we kick it off. We are not coming there. 6.2 A and the Roman figures, A, B and the Roman figures, we wait for the ruling, which we get during the course of the day today, so that we finalize that. 6.2 C, we agreed upon last time, we are not going back in terms of that. 6.3 A, it was the issue of cross-referencing financial reconciliation.
Yes, thanks, I think today we started to look at 6.5.3 of the Constitution and 5.2a. And I think that in 5.3 deals with how the court should assess the fundamental of compensation. And that the court has to establish compensation if considered to be just and equitable, into account all of the relevant circumstances. And then 5.2 deals with, provides that the amount of compensation must be decided and approved by a court of law.
That's in the Constitution.
That's in the Constitution, too.
And then there's 2A1, in 3. What is that difference?
2A1.
On the field.
Yeah. Oh, I think there's going to be a kind of balance. The question I want to ask you, Lee, that's my question. Having changed the way you have for now, 2A, there's no 2A1 anymore. You see that, no?
Sorry, I misunderstood it, but I want to know. But, Sandra, you see, now that you collapse 2A1 and 2, your cross-referencing can't be 2A1. Unless you reverse to break it up like that. So can we not pick this off until you come back to us with your and the Daniel's proposal on how we need to touch 2A.
Okay, I didn't give a real serious consideration to 6.3, but in the light of the explanation given by the parliamentary I'm just wondering if we're not creating
There were no issues there.
Can I just say something new?
ESCOM asked whether Sandra in line 3 of B, right? Something. You'll see it starts with in question. And then got before commencement of such exercise or use. And ESCOM in their submission to our said, let me read you what they say. It is suggested that the words before commencement of such exercise or use be deleted, as in certain instances it may be extremely onerous to give advance notice of the additional right that may be exercised by InfraCo.
Six three B line 3.
Before the commencement, the words before ending with use. ESCOM says remove it for the reasons I just read out.
Chair, we did not heed that advice for two reasons. One, we understand that pragmatically from an operational point of view, ESCOM's experience, sometimes you actually have to do that. However, we feel that in terms of the standard laid down in the new Expropriation Act and the Constitution in terms of due process, that we may be open to challenge
I mean, if people had written to me, I wouldn't have taken it so seriously.
The office would be much more sensible if I had written
to you. Yeah, right, yeah. Okay, thank you. For starting, for the time.
Okay.
633, cross-referencing, parameter with activity.
Thanks, Chair. We would need to look at the Expropriation Act and the various sections of the text to interview. Mostly, those sections deal with the effects of expropriation as well as the procedural steps that need to be taken after the notice of intention to expropriate. I don't know why you want to look at the effects of particular sections. Section 9 deals with the duties of the owner of the land, and then offers of compensation, 11, payment of amount offered as compensation. And then 12, 3, based on which compensation is to be determined. 14 deals with the determination of compensation by the Supreme Court or by application in the absence of an agreement. And then 15 deals with orders as to cost in the Supreme Court. But that section, apparently it has been deleted. In terms of Act 45 of 1992.
So are they referring to the section that is deleted in the Act?
Section 15, 15, 15, 15, 1 of 11. There are other sections, 15, 2 and 3. But 15.1 has been deleted.
So this is referring to 15 generically?
Yeah, that's just, yeah, 15, yeah.
And again, I didn't have my hands up, but because I'm pointing something here, Chairperson, I'm just looking at the compensation clause table in respect of the additional servitudes. And what bothers me is that it would appear to me that we're opening the way for both Transnet and Eskom to possibly come and make an additional demand on Infraco or the state for additional compensation. You see, my query the other day in relation to the servitude was that you have the right to the servitude, and to exercise that right, you necessarily need to enter the land. Now, a servitude is generally a servitude which allows you to do a number of things over that land depending on what the servitude entails, as Sandra will tell you. For example, you may have the right necessarily to construct and maintain things on the already in the servitude. Or alternatively, you may have access to it for various things like laying a pipe or something. But the way we're referring to the servitude here as an additional right, which may in any event exist, mean you are saying to Eskom and Transnet, come and negotiate with us because we'll pay compensation in terms of 25C of the Constitution, and it means, seems to me, that we're really stretching to the limit in favor of Eskom and Transnet the provisions of Section 25C. I think.
Is this for private land?
No, but the Transnet and Eskom are private land. And but the servitudes would apply to them. The servitudes would apply with the servitudes in respect of which Eskom and Transnet can exercise its rights in terms of those servitudes are going to be transferred to Infraco. And so Infraco can't be in a worse position. Can't be in a better position, obviously. But those servitudes will need to be looked at in order to determine fully the content of the servitudes. And so I think, and I don't want to go back to this, that we need to qualify that. Otherwise, the way this reads at the moment, we're saying originally, there's an additional right, and the additional right is to enter and do the following. With the servitude, you normally have those rights.
Mm-hmm.
And so, unless the intention is to give a Christmas present to Eskom and Transnet because we are operating Christmas, I don't think that was the intended consequence of it. Rather, we're saying if there are additional rights which flow from this, and those rights have not been provided for in the servitude, then there will be compensation for you.
So, you're talking about the land?
Yeah. You know, I think it's not just a matter of wording, it's a matter of principle as well. let me explain. Eskom has servitude that with the right to use those servitudes does not necessarily as yet include the right to play electronic communications networks. It's a servitude primarily for the purposes of, let's say, establishing generation infrastructure or whatever. Yes, all servitudes that exist and that provides for access for the purposes of electronic communications network, ESCOM will transfer and Transnet will transfer to Infraco as the transfer date. But there may be in relation to services that Eskom and Transnet have in relation to other landowners' land, Infraco may want to come back and say to Eskom, we want to use you to extend your servitude, and then Eskom will be obligated to pay compensation. And we would then, we can't expect Eskom and Transnet to subsidize the compensation that will be payable in terms of the constitution. In any case, Infraco then has to compensate Eskom and Transnet for facilitating an extension of, or expansion of rights. Those, exactly what those rights are at this point in time, we don't know. So we're catering for a eventuality in the future where we need to expand existing servitude rights for the purposes of Infraco, and compensation will be payable to whoever's rights are being diminished. And what we're saying is, if Eskom and Transnet facilitate that, we need to compensate them on the back of the compensation that they have to pay.
I'm sorry that I'm coming back to this when I suppose by carefully evaluating it yesterday we could have dealt with him. But Sandra is actually adding to my concern before she makes this concession. Well, firstly she says, look, this is for a particular type of network. It applies to the chances of the Eskom and Transnet. Probably had those rights already in the territory to pass on the Infraco. I say that because we would not have put this in this bill had somebody not satisfied himself that there's already some rights attaching to the servitude which can be used by Infraco. But it's the wording of two, where we add an additional right to the servitude. And so, in order to ensure that Eskom and Transnet don't necessarily come to us to demand something extra, I'm saying that we need to link that to something that may well be in addition to the existing servitude. Of course, I understand that Eskom and Transnet may have to go through a private landowner and may have to amend those servitudes. What I'm looking at is protecting the state against what may be an opportunity to play for compensation based on the wording of the clause in question.
But I'm just saying, wanted to propose that they kind of check this and work it out.
Yeah, but I have to publicly respond to it because I think they're very liberal in statements being made here about opportunistic conduct by potentially Eskom and Transnet, which I think is unfair. Let me explain.
No,
in the absence of being tested, it is unfair. But Chief, I may just make the following, and I'm not here I'm not appointed by Eskom and Transnet, but I think in all fairness. Let me just explain something. The FSN network was rolled out. And yet, in relation to the FSN network, there are existing services which are recognized in 6.1. But I think that particularly the members of the portfolio committee will recall that one of the problems that we have in some of the SOEs is the fact that ESCOM, or let's say the Transnet, not all of the Transnet servitudes and not all of the ESCOM servitudes are necessarily related to electronic communications. We don't know how Infraco is going to expand in the future. It may, in 2 years' time, say to ESCOM, you know, this servitude over here, we also want to use it. We don't want to go establish our own servitude. We want to use it and we want you to extend that. But ESCOM itself has no need to do it for its purposes, for its core mandate. Then, in that case, ESCOM will have to pay compensation. So I don't see an opportunistic intent here. What I should say to you is, as part of the commercial transaction, we have the full and complete schedule of existing servitudes that are being transferred as part of this transaction. So it's not as if there is an absence of commercial documentation which will be referenced in this case.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just want some understanding.
If ESCOM has a servitude on my plots at the moment, where my house is, that was a servitude. I wanted to agree to it.
Did you
hear
the
assuming that ESCOM has a servitude on my piece of property, and that servitude will now be transferred to Infraco, if I understand this correctly. But could it be that the servitude says they are allowed to dig trenches in my lawn and put in a cable and close it up again, but not to build something on my property? If that's the kind of additional servitude that we're referring to here, and if that is the case, does Infraco go to ESCOM, who I originally concluded the transfer of the servitude with, or does it come to me?
That is one example, yes. Keep in mind that these servitudes are a mixed bag, and that's why we refer to servitudes and rights in land. Some of them are clearly, distinctly, only Infraco servitudes. Others are servitudes that were originally acquired for the purposes of, let's say, generation, on which we piggyback to a right in land. So it's a mixed bag.
So who do they go to when they want to pay? ESCOM or to me?
Chair, if it is a servitude that's transferred to us, obviously we will have to execute that right.
To me, not to ESCOM.
Exactly. If it's a right in land, a right to use the servitude, then we will have to work through ESCOM. But it's common cause in law that the owner of the servitude exercises his or her rights in relation to the land owner, and I don't think we need to legislate that in this bill.
Let me make myself absolutely clear. Our parent vehicles operate no differently to the private sector, in the sense that they want to make profit. They want to make profit, and if they can make an additional profit, they are going to make an additional profit. What I'm saying to this committee is, and my job is to protect the interests of the state. I'm saying that we have a servitude definition, which says that the servitude is hereby extended to include the additional right to enter and use the land to such servitude relating to the purposes of blah, 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 blah. You only have that right for the servitude. Take for example Telkom. Can you enter your property to put up telephone lines? You have to give them access. They come there, they come there. Anytime there's a problem, they don't even have to let you know. You have to give them access.
DPE obviously knows that. So I'm saying the servitude encompasses that right already. Now we are defining the servitude as including an extension which normally accompanies the servitude. And so maybe we need to do that for clarity purposes, that's fine. But then it comes to the compensation that needs to be paid. And all I'm saying is, we don't want to extend this in such a way that anybody, someone who says ESCOM's lawyers looking at it and saying, hey guys, we're giving them an additional right, here's your legislation, let's work out what it is and tell the state to pay us some money. That's all I'm saying. I'm not being unfair to Transnet. If I was working for the private sector, I'd go and tell them that immediately. I'd say, guys, you're entitled to additional compensation here based on this bill. Now, because the servitude does confer rights even on the transferring to the infraco in this split, and because possibly there may have to be compensation paid, that compensation which may need to be paid would have to be in respect of something that's additional to what the servitude is used for at the moment. And all I'm saying is, we need to check those servitudes. In other words, we need to check it in order to limit the potential scope and effect of the compensation clauses. In other words, so that ESCOM and Transnet can't come and make an opportunistic demand on the state for additional compensation based on the wording of this. That's all I'm saying. It seems to me that DPE has already done an analysis of the servitudes. If they make it available to me, well, I'm going to be out of my office as from tomorrow. If they make it available to me, I'm quite happy to look at it very carefully and to give DPE the benefit of my views on it to see whether this needs to be limited or not.
Let me check. Initially, I proposed that the country check this issue. And because to me, I've got one problem or a challenge from where I am. This piece or this clause is exactly as the dealers went through the state advisor's office and they satisfied it here. Today, you are protecting the interest of the state. Once the correct allowed this thing to pass through, now we are entering into that debate where we had an opportunity to engage on those things before the deal comes in, but now we are going to enter that debate. All I was saying was that I was wanted to check with DPE whether, because to me it's not an issue of wedding, it's a matter of getting clarity on the issues which we are raising. Does that going to affect the clause as it is?
So
I
would make a suggestion, which might take us away. This is not a wording issue to be put up by lawyers. I don't know whether the next subcommittee is this afternoon or tomorrow.
Suggest that we
that this issue stand over for that subcommittee and we can try and get each other in the meantime.
Whatever the need is, you see, while the character of this approach is, you see, Peter, the Jews speak to me, you have the best handle of this issue. I am the Jews speak to me. You have
that's a new way to think
about it. Would you respect to me, you have the best handle of the issue as I see it, and probably Tony could do that. Both of you.
Can I give you my
you know, can you just thank you so much for protecting me for once. It's not cutting me short as usual. Can we can we have the two of you like over tea or whatever lunch. Don't bother meeting, sort this thing out. Whatever's needed, those of you living on the news are disappearing wherever it is tomorrow. And then we have the mandate of this portfolio committee to go away with so many money. And where is he going for? And where is he going to? Is the taxpayer paying
for?
Hold you by your own second, that's a completion. So, basically,
can't you guys sort it out? Chairman, I would like to say to make whatever is available of me to assist. But my understanding of this, you see, it's not what I agree with, but what I understand is exactly what everybody is saying. The intention here is if granted is a landowner, then Sintroco must pay them for an additional. That is the intention. I don't necessarily agree with it. But that is the intention. That's what they want to do.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, it's not a language issue. They want to pay part that for any additional fee that is recommended. That's what they want. We're paying them up front,
for the interest coming to infra. We're paying them. Then there's a big little thing that we're going to get from them, then we must pay them again. I don't think it's right, but I mean, that's what they want.
But the question I want to ask them, is that the norm? See, I don't know enough about this area. And frankly, at this late stage, given the printing deadlines we've got, and given that I'm on my way myself, not for 7 months, I don't know how long, maybe shorter. I just want to make a point that what is the norm? Is this thing that teachers are the norm? That's what you do. If that's the norm, then this committee will apply the norm. If it's not the norm, so then why are you doing it differently?
I just want to add as my understanding, if Eskom or Transnet, if they purchase a servitude on your private property, it's a once-off payment. Whatever they do there in the future, it's done. And that's how I understand it.
Yeah.
Now the same here, why do you have to pay them every time if you exercise another function on the same? Because if they pay them, as Hendrik said, upfront, you will see it's done.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, they just make money. They don't pay you to the private.
They're paying me for the right to deep tension in my yard. They are not paying to take up half my yard and put up a mask.
But what I mean is, if they purchase a piece of land, they pay you once off and they have the right to do anything they now, why do we have to pay them in town? You know, why do we?
Because you're involved more and more
but they don't pay the private owner. For the private owner, they pay a service fee, then you can perform there as much as you can.
No, but they pay you money, they pay you for the right forever to come and give a.
That's right. That's right.
Today, next week, next year. They pay for that right.
That's right.
But now they come and they want to take up a 4x4 piece of my land and erect a permanent structure.
So then they must pay you again.
Now, that's what they're talking about, additional rights.
But they also talk about additional rights on a already marked area.
What teachers is saying is a separate, it's a different issue. There is a what you do is you then have to negotiate a leasing agreement for that part of the property from that private individual. You do the same thing with the municipalities, and then you pay a leasing fee based on, for example, what your square meter is. It's not the same as registering a servitude. They're two separate issues. I just want to make that distinction.
Chair, leasing is one mechanism of extending your rights. Servitudes are registered for certain purposes. Okay? Some servitudes are registered for general public purposes. Then there's no problem. But sometimes they're registered for specific purposes. Now, let me go back to the question of norm. And let me take it back to the Old Telecommunications Act, where the concept of extending existing servitudes for specific purposes, and in the case of the Eskom and Transnet was for electricity and for transport purposes, were extended for the purpose of telecommunications. At that point in time, the concept of extending an existing right, be that a servitude right or a lease right or whatever, for the purposes of providing communication services. And secondly, the principle was laid down. If the additional rights that you secure are onerous on the landowner, you have to pay compensation. And all that we're saying is, if it's Eskom's land and becomes onerous to Eskom, then we need to compensate them. If it is Eskom facilitating land trust in relation to servitudes that it holds but weren't transferred to Infracode, then we also have to compensate them. We are not talking about a money-making business. We're talking about compensation based on proven onerous or diminishing rights that are being acquired and that have not yet been established. We should also keep in mind that there is a peg in the ground. We have established with Eskom and Transnet through schedules in the commercial agreement as to what exists. So we will have a reference point. It's not as if Eskom and Transnet can go and pull out of the air when we want to exercise the right and say, well, you know, this is now new and additional. You've got to pay us for us, and by the way, we're going to make some money out of this exercise. That's exactly why there are compensation principles, and that's exactly why Eskom would have to show to us, demonstrate to us that there is an onerous or diminishing exercise of rights which did not exist before. And that is what we are providing for.
Can we agree that at some point we should meet when we pray and find out if it's myself to come back and report and for now? I understand that she is so the subcommittee can engage on this matter when you come back from she, then we can tell the way forward. Thank you.